Click kaya959.co.za. This is how
we do it. To download the Point of View podcast.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. I don't know how much you've been observing what's happened between Iran and Israel, but to help us unpack all of this is Dr. Kingsley Makubela, who is a director at Risk Recon and also a former diplomat. Dr. Makubela, thank you so much for making time for us. We haven't spoken in a while, but I do clearly remember the last time you and I spoke, we were quite nervous about a looming war. Look at us now.
Hello, good evening. It's unfortunate. I wish we could, we had all the powers to do something to stop what we anticipated, because the loss of life that is going on in that part of the world is just unnecessary.
So, I mean, I don't know what time exactly, but we've been watching visuals of the Iranian state television broadcast live while a bomb came through. Mm. And I mean, quite chilling visuals. And Iran obviously saying, well, this is going to be, you know, even greater response that they're going to have towards Israel. I guess we know how we got here. Is there hope of ending this soon rather than later?
You know, Pimelo, there are efforts underway. President Trump spoke to President Putin day before yesterday. And today, President Putin spoke to President Erdogan of Turkey. And there are efforts to try to resolve the situation. But the biggest forum currently taking place is the G7 in Canada. Mm. The meeting, the agenda has been hijacked by this issue. They are inundated with this. They are currently in a closed session, and they will discuss part of this. But there are two critical risks, Pimelo, that we're looking at here. One big risk is that Iran can shut down the Strait of Hormuz that transports about 30% of the global oil goes through there. Mm. 20% of the global gas goes through that. Mm-hmm. Actually, 50% of the global oil is found in the Middle East. Mm. So it's quite disruptive if that's happened. That's one big risk. The second risk is that if this war continues, Iran may start to attack, and they've said this, and they will attack oil wells in countries in the Gulf state that they think are collaborating, which would disrupt, the oil market quite significantly. Currently, the market was a bit down. It went, I mean, the prices went a bit up.
Yeah.
But they went down, I think today it should be closing at about $72 per barrel. But JP Morgan's, it's anticipating that if this goes on, it'll go to $130 per barrel. But there are other people who are saying, if the two scenarios that I painted to you are realized, oil prices can hit as much as $300 per barrel. Mm. And you ask yourself, where would we be as South Africa?
Yeah.
That's why the Europeans are quite concerned about it. It decimates their industry. Remember, they've imposed sanctions on the Russian energy resources. They are not taking that. But part of the discussion, Pimelo, now in Canada is the energy security that they are going to discuss. And Russia is an integral part of the European energy security. You can't do without them, both in gas and electricity. Now, with this thing, conflict carrying on there, it's really complicated the situation. Remember, Pimelo, also the Strait of Bab al-Mandab, the Houthis are controlling access to that, which give direct access to the Red Sea. So these are the two big risks that everyone is concerned, that everyone is so nervous about, including the Americans. That's why their efforts, you may have heard President Trump earlier on saying that, well, maybe sometimes they need to go through this, but he thinks there will be a deal between Iran and Israel. I think there are people who are working behind the scene, particularly the Russians, and the Americans who try to find a solution. That's what would extricate the world out of this looming crisis that we are all anticipating.
Are the Americans really trying to quell this? Do you believe they really are?
It's going to hit their pockets. Remember, in Texas, there are a lot of oil companies that are doing drilling there. And they are doing deep drilling, which is too expensive. if oil prices go up, Trump knows next year he's going to lose both houses. So there are huge issues at stake for the American, at the political reason, at the political interest. There are a lot of issues that would affect them that they are trying to manage. But at the same time, everyone else is against this war. The Japanese have issued out a very strong-worded statement. Keir Starmer is on the fence. He has said things that really made Washington uncomfortable. So there's a division within the G7 as they are sitting around now. China has made it quite clear that an attack on an all-out war with Israel, it will be forced to intervene. Pakistan has come up to say if Israel drops a nuclear bomb in Iran, they will drop one in Israel. So there are a lot of issues at stake. And Trump is trying to build his reputation around the resolution of global conflict. And the G7, fortunately, is inundated with global conflicts. So we're looking to see how strong the statement will be. But the actionable part of the statement that will be interested, what are the timelines that are going to draw to try to reduce some of these global tensions that we're seeing around the world?
We know Netanyahu has been itching for this for a long time. So one wonders if we all know that Netanyahu has been itching to go to war with Iran, especially those who will be affected by the oil price, I suppose the whole world. But more pointedly, the Europeans, the Americans, how come they never did anything to ease the tensions? And we could also, I mean, it's a little bit, when I look at this and the claims of what is happening in Iran and really the reason why they're going to this war, how much do we know about, you know, how true the claims are that they have not stuck to the restrictions and they are busy enriching themselves in uranium that's going to empower their nuclear bombs and so on? How honest are they with what the information they're sharing? And how much are we ourselves, aware of the facts?
Pamela, the timeline for this conflict that is going on, somewhere around the 10th, the Iranian came up with a bombshell to say they have access to a classified nuclear secrets of Israel, and they're going to reveal this, that they have tons and tons of documents. That made everyone very nervous around that. On the 12th of this month again, the IAEA set and took a resolution. And the board voted for this resolution. South Africa is part of the board. That vote, 19 countries voted for the resolution that literally says Iran is not complying with its obligations in terms of the IAEA and the enrichment process. And South Africa abstained in that vote. I don't know why South Africa abstained. Only three countries voted against this, Burkina Faso, China, and Russia. In terms of the process, that resolution should be presented to the Security Council. But because two members of the Security Council are permanent members, Russia and China, were definitely going to veto the resolution. Mm-hmm. So they didn't even bother to take the resolution to the Security Council. On the 13th, Israel started attacking Iran. And they, you know, before they attacked, Barnier, the head of Mossad, was on his way with the Minister of Strategic Resources to go and have meetings in Washington. And there was a meeting scheduled, a negotiation scheduled between the Americans and the Iranians on this nuclear deal.
Yeah.
And the Israelis started the attack. Mm. But the Israelis underestimated the retaliation of the Iranians. The Iranians hit on the 14th, they hit what it's called the Fortress of Zion. The Fortress of Zion, it's the IDF Supreme Command Post, the head office. It's like the Pentagon of Israel. Mm. They hit it, decimated it. They are now sheltering somewhere. The Iranians have hit serious strategic resources in Israel, in Haifa. I mean, they hit the oil refinery that provides literally every fuel jet to their planes and so on. So it's a very serious thing. They never anticipated this. This Israel would overwhelm the Iron Dome and be able to attack any target they want to. They also attacked Netanyahu's home, but Netanyahu has been in the bunker. He just came out yesterday. So I think there was an underestimation of the Iranians' capacity. The Iranians haven't started to use, they've only used one hypersonic missile throughout the conflict. The rest of the missile they are using are medium-range missiles. Mm. So the Iranians are saying, we can do more. Mm. Now, no one can intercept hypersonic missile. Mm. If they couldn't intercept the medium-range missile, it's a huge issue. That's take place. As we are talking, there are missiles that are destined to go and hit Israel. So I think they underestimated that, and they underestimated how divisive this thing would be amongst the Western world. So it has created a problem. Donald Trump would remain isolated in Canada so far. He's the only one who still supports Israel on this issue.
Oh, Dr. Makwela?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I think I thought we had lost you. So in this regard, where we are right now, just talk to me strategically what the role of Russia would be to maybe quell the heat right now.
Russia yesterday signed the strategic alliance with Iran, which simply means an attack on Israel would be an attack on the Russian Federation. So the Russians have a great deal of influence. Mm. The Chinese have a great deal of influence there. The Chinese, the allegation that they landed two planes carrying a military supply to Tehran yesterday. Mm. So these are the two countries that have serious influence on Iran. Mm. But the Russians are much more because they have given the Iranian the fifth generation of their planes, the jet fighters and so on. So they have this influence over the Iranians. So that's why Donald Trump, day before yesterday, spoke to Vladimir Putin. I think to really urge him and nudge him to find a solution. That's why if you look at the media now, it's been couched and nuanced as Iran is now willing to talk, to de-escalate. But you can see those are the intervention of the Russians. The Israelis will likely say the same thing tomorrow. And I hope we would, by next week, move towards some form of a reconciliation. Trump is speaking about a peace agreement. Mm. Now, a peace treaty or a peace agreement, it's a total different thing than a ceasefire agreement, which really does not come up with some clear roadmap of a peace solution between the two countries.
What does this mean for Netanyahu? I mean, you know, I suppose it's one thing to have ideological ideas, but when war comes into your own doorstep as a civilian, as a citizen, just talk to me about what you think the Israeli civilians and citizens are thinking right now, particularly about Netanyahu.
You know, it's unprecedented. I think Netanyahu's political career has come to an end.
Yeah.
That's my view.
Yeah.
I think it is sitting on a very precarious position before this war. Mm. What has happened to the heart and the nerve center of Tel Aviv has never been seen before. The level of destruction that is going there and so on, it's a huge challenge. I mean, for the Israelis, for the Iranians to hit the Weizmann Institute for Science, which provides research, is a nerve center of the Israeli research on artificial intelligence, on military, on everything, for the Iranians to totally destroy that is unheard of. For civilians to start suffering, start actually experiencing what's going on in Gaza, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
So I think after this war, once there's an agreement, once there's a lull, they're going to come out in numbers. Voices will start to come out to say Netanyahu must step down, and his position will be untenable. I think he will step down. I don't think he will survive. This is the end of his political career.
How soon do you think we'll get to, you know, some sort of a maybe a peace agreement?
You know, if we look at my biggest indicator, Pimelo, will be tomorrow's decision at the G7 in Canada.
Mm.
It will send a clear indication. But I can tell now, I can project now, that given the looming crisis of oil around the world, these countries are likely to take a decision that really compels Israel to make compromises and stop. By next week, we may see an agreement for cessation of hostilities. Mm. And after that, they may build up on that to stop this. Pimelo, everyone says Iran has enriched uranium to 60%.
Yes.
And they are saying to weaponize that you need 90%.
Yes.
90%, you don't achieve it overnight. It needs a long period of time. So the argument of existential threat that Netanyahu spoke about doesn't hold water. and I think everyone is quite aware of this situation. The IEA has come out also to say there are no indication that Iran has moved to weaponize its nuclear sector. So those are issues that will create a bit of a challenge now in this meeting that is taking place in Canada.
Remember Saddam Hussein?
Absolutely. The yellow cake that can turn into a mushroom cloud and gave excuses for attack.
Mm.
But Trump, he knows he's in his second term.
Mm.
There's already a revolt even within the Republicans. There are some people who are saying this war was unnecessary.
Mm.
There are voices that are saying in the state
mm-hmm.
that the United States shouldn't go and fight Netanyahu's war. So Netanyahu remains very isolated.
Mm.
You may have seen his pleading for support to intercept missiles coming into Israel.
Yeah.
And only the United Kingdom has responded. But they tried to access that through the Red Sea, and the Houthis told them to turn back. And they turned back before they could be hit.
Well, I hope you and I will be speaking soon, and maybe when things are a little calmer. But I really appreciate you taking the time, especially on a public holiday, to talk to us. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Makubele.
It's always a pleasure, Pimelo.
Thanks. Director at Risk Recon and former diplomat, Dr. Kingsley Makubele. What do you make of that? 086-000-0959. You could also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. The world is at a knife's edge.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.